Welcome to the Overseas Connection, episode 167. Today is May 8th, 2012. Did I scare the crap out of you, Mr. Primrose? Yeah, I try. Yeah, that's right. Back to normal.
Yay. Good, I don't have to do this shit again.
Yeah, I'm going to be tired tomorrow.
Back to the three-hour podcast, everyone.
As long as possible. I'm your host, Greg DeLisi, Gamertag Murphy's Law. And, well, you've already heard two of our finest, Mr. Richard Primrose.
Yeah. Hello.
Yeah. Hello to you.
I don't know about you, Primrose, but, like, usually when someone refers to you, you kind of try and respond as quickly as possible. You seem to kind of take a back step on this.
You want to see him in the pub.
Yeah.
Go. Yeah. And Mr. Mike Chin.
Hello.
Hello.
Glad to have you back, Greg.
I'm sure you're not, but thank you for saying it.
No, I am. Because, like, I don't have to do stuff.
Yeah, you don't have to record a podcast at all or anything like that, right?
Oh, yeah, I do have to record this podcast tonight because you can't get your shit together, but...
Pamela is an angry bitch, it seems.
Yeah, she's a hard woman
to see. That's neither here nor there. Guess who else we have on the show this week?
CPM.
No.
Ah, good.
Although I have news about CPM.
Is he dead?
No. Good. It's a horrible thing to say, by the way.
No, he's not dead.
No. He is trying to kill cadets, though. That he is trying to do.
Probably grenades at cadets.
And he just might be back next week.
Really? What if we have a better guest today? Like, which we probably will. Let's face it. Tonight's guest is usually top notch.
Top notch, indeed. Mr. Mark Annex.
Hello.
Yeah. Hi, Mark.
Hello. Hello. How are you doing?
Oh, this is awkward. I was talking about Steve Conger. Sorry, Mark.
Oops. Yeah, no, we're just rolling through podcast hosts, you know, switching them out. You guys are like interchangeable cogs. That's really not easy for me to say.
Yeah.
We are podcasting tarts.
Yes.
What?
Mark, no, thank you for joining us this week.
Hi, Mark.
Hello. No problem.
You are like a premier member, I dare say, not founder, but you've been there from the beginning with the gate for the most part, haven't you?
Yeah. Years before that with the 035s, before it became Gaming for the Elderly as well.
Yeah, the 035 days, I remember those.
Yeah. I joined when PGR4 released, I think that was 2007.
Wow. 2007, the same day as Halo 3.
Yeah, that's how long I've been with that community.
Mike, that is good knowledge, by the way.
Thank you,
Mike. You must clearly be prepared for our news quiz later on.
Really? No, sorry. But it came out September the 16th, I believe, Halo 3. That's just off the top of my head.
That's old news. Halo 3, come on. We're moving on.
I'm sorry, mate.
In fact, we're going to jump into, you know, what we've been playing.
What you've been playing? What you've been playing? What you've been playing? What have you been playing?
So, what have you been playing, Mr. Mark Wright?
Not that much this week.
Get off the show, Mark!
I'm doing the mic, you know. No,
you're actually playing games from 2011, clearly Mike Chin.
I'm going to make up for it this week, because I've got this week off work, but I have been playing a bit of F1 2011.
By the way.
We had the championship Sunday night. And then straight after that, we had the Forza 4 R2 Championship.
Now, when you say championship, and you know, being away from the whole site for a few days, I didn't have a chance to follow up on this, but championship as in, like, the championship race, or championship as in it's just our championship series?
One of the community members, Ginge Ninja, set up an R2 Championship, so every week... We have the same car every week, and you can tune it only to, you can't change the parts, but you can tune your car to suit the track. and we do a series of races over like a 2 month period. So for like 8 weeks, we'll race a different track, and then you top up your points and everything like a proper championship.
So back to my question, Mark. When you say championship,
we talk about cars.
So it was one of the races within the championship series.
Yes. Sorry. Yeah.
That's okay. I think you guys should have a Grand Poobah championship race where you take like the top finishers from like the past four seasons and they all have to go for like the crown.
Yeah, could do. But
you don't sound very thrilled with my idea.
No, I wouldn't be in it. I wouldn't be there. I usually place middle of the table.
Yeah. David the Alien would be racing David the Alien.
Yeah, and Cardinal and Bongo.
While you're on, Mark, I think you should bring up the Gamma Score Challenge that you've run.
Yes, it's just started last Saturday. I do it every year. I've done it for the past 3 years now.
Wicked.
It's just basically to increase your gamer score by as much as you can in that 2 month period. It doesn't matter what your gamer score is, it's how much you increase it by.
Who has the biggest profit, if you will.
Yeah, yeah. The current record is held by Parsnip from not last year, the year before, and he got 22,601 points in 2 months.
Freak.
The two of us nearly beat him last year. Codger won last year, and he got just over 22,000, and I hit 22,000 last year. But we were quite a few hundred off Parsnip's total.
22,000.
Was there any evidence of Barbie Horse Adventures within the gameplay?
Well, surprisingly, Mr. Codger pipped me to the post by going out last minute at night time and buying a second hand of My Horse and Me Too.
Wow.
I was good.
That is brilliant.
There's a few of us this year, though, have said that we're going to, instead of getting all the crap and drivel from Love Film like we have done in the past, I personally and a few of the other people are just going to play the Pile of Shame this year and see how much we can increase it by.
Yeah, I'll tell you what, that's what I use this competition as an excuse for, just to kind of like, you know, just say to the missus, go, love, I'm in a competition here. You know what I mean? Like, I don't want to play these games, but what are you going to do? My hands are so hard.
That brings me on to my last game I've played, because that's one of my Pile of Shame games that I haven't even put in the drive until the other day, and that's Rayman Origins.
Oh, dear. And how was it?
I really, really like it. I've always been a platform game fan, right from the early days of the Amstrad and stuff. I used to love, like, Chucky Egg and all the sort of like basic platformers.
Dizzy was my favourite.
And the Mega Drive days when you had Mickey Mouse and Sonic and everything. Yeah. And James Pond.
New Zealand story.
Rayman Origins, it's really, really well put together. It's absolutely gorgeous to look at. The sound's really good. Instead of like voices, you've got like people going me, 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 making it like a bit like the Lego thing. And it's got like a lot of very different levels. And you'll unlock different abilities as you go through each level. So when you do the first bit, you'll unlock the ability to attack, and then you'll unlock the ability to spin your little head thing around so you can fly. So it's really good. I've not got too far into it yet, and there's a lot of replay value, because once you've unlocked your abilities, you have to go back to the first lot of levels, and you can get to some secret areas, a bit like the Lego series, where you have to do all your story mode and go back again.
All
right. It's a lot of fun.
Good deal.
Is there a lot of game there, Mark?
Yeah, there is. Yeah, a lot of replay value.
Huh.
A lot of levels. And some of it's quite easy, but some of it's really hard. There's, to get the 100% on the whole game, you have to get the time, beat the time on each level, and they are really difficult to do. It gets obviously harder as you go along.
Mark, we all want to know the real answer to the ultimate question. What the achievements like, Mark?
They're
terribly hard. Don't bother.
I think I've got about 300 on it so far.
Really?
And I've been playing it since Saturday. So I've got about 3 or 4 hours into it, and I've got 300 points, yeah.
All right. Excellent. All right, Mark, we're going to move on from you.
Is he done?
He is now done. See how that works, Mike? Bam, cut him off.
Tell you what.
Mike, what have you been playing?
Tell you what, right, so you all make fun of me saying, oh, I don't play current games. So I've been playing Battlefield Bad Company still. And the first
one. Yes, you had been. And somebody had to save you from that.
True, sure. Yeah, and the one thing about that is, the bad company thing, is you have to finish it on normal and hard separately for the achievements.
Yeah, I hate those.
WTF. So, yeah, but apart from that, it's a good game. I've also played Dirt Showdown.
Okay, let's talk about that.
Played, I mean recently, like just right before the show started. Not very impressed. Yep. Nice presentation. It looks like they put a lot of effort into it, but I think they forgot about the game, to be honest. And it's a bit dull, and there's nothing exciting about it. I don't think they went over the top with it enough. What do you think, Greg?
I would agree. I gave it a whirl over the weekend, and maybe it was just the track they decided to represent for the world tour and doing the demo, but there was nothing to it. It was a figure eight track. It reminded me completely of a kind of a crash derby kind of race.
But it wasn't fun.
No, it wasn't fun because it was boring. I mean, you're playing against AI.
Boring. Yeah.
And it looked nice, like you said, but you never got a good scope of what this game was going to give you. And I think that is very problematic for it.
I just think, you know, like, they should have gone really over the top with it, you know? They should have, like, gone crazy and made all the crashes cool. And no, it's pretty... It's kind of like a sim derby game, which is... I don't know.
Well, but even that you didn't get a sense for, because they didn't... I mean, you could unlock, I think, a couple variations on paint scheme, but you couldn't actually delve into car settings or upgrades to the cars themselves.
Yeah.
So there was none of that sim element in there. It was just run around this figure eight track.
Controlled like a sim, right?
Take them out, yeah. Kinda.
I suppose not, actually.
It had a little bit of the arcadey feel to it.
Yeah, it wasn't too similar. But I don't know. It was just very dull. Like, I don't think they put a lot of effort into it. I don't think they really... It feels like a rushed kind of product. But, you know, the interface, the UI, like, Dirt has always had a good kind of interface. Right. I think Mark would be the expert on this topic. But, Dirt have always done a good job of presenting their game as well. But really, I mean, they just forgot about making it fun. It's just not.
I think more than anything, this was a bad demo because it doesn't show off what Dirt Showdown really can be.
Yeah.
It showed off just a small portion of what that game can be, and honestly, probably one of the more boring tracks. It might be fun with friends.
Yeah.
I can imagine that track being a lot of fun with all of us racing around, but against AI...
You could be right. It could be a bad demo because, you know.
I have to imagine they've got bigger tracks than that.
They must have better tracks than that, you know. It was just, I mean, it was kind of like a figure of eight, like a weird figure of eight. And, like, they must have better tracks than that. I pray they have better tracks than that. So, you know.
Oh, well, what else, Mike? What else?
Ghost Recon Future Soldier.
What?
Yes, that's a current game that the kids are playing. I played that by Force Radar. You, Greg, you maybe play it.
Well, okay, so last week on the podcast, I had jumped on late, and I had known that the beta was ending. What I did not know was that they had extended it for a week, and I found out very randomly just because I had logged on to Xbox Live, and I was like, what do I want to play? Saw the Ghost Recon as part of my quick play, and I was like, you know what? I'm just going to go in and just monkey around maybe in the gun editor. I figured that would still be accessible. And sure enough, the whole beta was still up. I was like, holy shit, it's still going. And then I saw the message to the community, and then I also had somebody else, I believe, posted a quick response out to me saying, you know, hey, no, that beta's still going. So
that would be me, Greg.
Was that you, Rich?
Yeah, you sent me a WhatsApp message.
Okay. Yeah. I don't remember. This whole past week has been a big blur. It's been crazy busy for me. But, so the beta.
I'm Greg. I'm so busy. It was early morning for you. It was kind of mid-afternoon for me. It was a Saturday. And we were both kind of free to game. And we did. We gave it a good 2-3 hours, Greg, I think.
Yeah.
And it was fun. Real fun. Really enjoyed it. It controls well. Its interface is really nice and slick. And it's just fun. Like, it's Gears of War-ish, sure, but, like, it's military setting. And yeah, I mean, we didn't have a lot of laggy problems. There was one game that we went to that was a bit, whoa.
Yeah.
You learn more. I mean, it introduces kind of gadgets at a nice pace. And as you learn more, you kind of went, yeah, this is good. Like, you know, I'm getting used to this now. And then something else will come along nice and new. And you think, yeah, brilliant. I really enjoyed it. I don't know if I'm going to buy it yet. I'm still in limbo on that. So
I definitely can say you can see where teamwork really comes into play in that game.
Yeah.
Especially on some of the teamwork-based objective stuff. The saboteurs, the bomb saboteur especially, seems like teamwork is a must.
Oh, yeah. I mean,
on the question of buying it, I've been hunting for deals on it. And I'm finding the Asda at the minute cheapest, £32 something.
You can tell you're from up north.
Yeah. Gotta get a bargain.
Now, I know Amazon is giving a $10 back credit on pre-ordering Ghost Recon Future Soldier. So if you buy it, you get $10 back and credit to use for something else, as well as some, I don't know if it's a co-op map. I think that they're offering up for a bonus.
Co-op maps. That's the pre-order.
That
tantalizer.
Worries me a little bit. I honestly don't like when games do that because you start splintering your user
audience.
Base.
Yeah.
You divide. You know, if you don't know, or if everybody doesn't order from Amazon, we're all, you know, not everybody's going to have that map. And some people have a different map.
Hey, Greg, where are you ordering it from? Amazon? Yeah. Or what? You know? So it's just different.
Yeah. I prefer the weapons as a DLC if they're going to do something like that.
I hope this is not a question for the quiz, but they've announced doing a special edition, haven't they?
Yeah, so there you go, Rich. 80 bucks. I don't know what that's in pounds, but I think it's Future. Is it Future that was offering it up? I think. But, you get a steelbook case tin. And then you get a nice figurine of a Ghost Recon soldier.
That's Steve Cotton on then, steel tin. He loves his steel tin.
Can that figurine go on your Skylanders pod?
It can. I don't know that it will do you much good, but sure, it could sit right on top of there.
Okay.
Yeah. Mike, anything else on your end?
I don't know. I can't remember if I've played anything else, Mike. Probably not. I've spent a lot of time on Battlefield Bad Company, okay. And I do still really enjoy that game. I think it held up well.
2009. That was great. They had some of the best menu music.
Yeah, it was good. The whole thing, it was funny and interesting. The characters were funny. The story was simple. All the story was they're in bad company because they're bad people, and the one guy was trying to get out of the army early. He wants to go fishing. Everybody wants to get rich to find some gold. To try and get the gold. That was it. That's the story. Like, Bad Company 2, it's all like, oh no, we're gonna get revenge, blah, 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 blah. It's all serious. You know what I mean? It's just, Bad Company 2 is rubbish.
I don't quite remember it that way, but sure.
Yeah, that's exactly what happened.
I will say Bad Company also had some of the best, like, spoof little trailer commercials.
Oh yeah, like the Metal Gear Solid.
Jabs at other
Gears
games.
Of War, yeah. It's funny. I don't know. I just kind of wish they made like a 3 and just kind of went back to kind of what made 1 funny. And the whole respawning in the single player was good because he took the pressure off. And, you know, the level on the golf course was fun. And, it's brilliant levels. So, yep, good game. If anybody hasn't played Bad Company 1 and was put off by 2, go back and have a blast.
Buy it on the cheap for sure. I know it's on demand as well. So if you want to just have something that you can fire up. It's all
just
there.
Be wary, if you're on the Gamma Score Challenge, you have to play it twice.
And it's a lot harder than the second game as well, I found.
Yeah.
Nah, you respawn. You just respawn and come back.
Well, so do they. That's the problem.
No, they don't. Enemies don't respawn.
Enemies?
No, no, you just respawn.
They did.
No. Mate, I just played the game twice. Are you really going to take me?
No, clearly.
How dare you? No, like, you respawn as if it was like a multiplayer match, and everybody that you killed is still dead. So, yeah, you know, it's kind of acts like a multiplayer match in the way.
Well, let's move on to Mr. Primrose, and we'll talk about some current games. Half-Life 2, Rich?
Current games, yes.
Doing
all right. No, just some current games, but yeah, start off Half-Life 2. So I finished it.
Right.
I'm not going to start a war of words with Stuart Fowler and
me.
Mr. Mike Chin. But okay, so measured opinion here, right?
I already hate you.
It is too prolonged in levels at the beginning. But when I got to the end in City 17,
yeah,
I started getting well impressed with the game.
Yeah.
Until
here we go.
They try to give me some broken ass squad mechanics.
All right, I'll give you that.
Which don't work, and the amount of times I got jammed up in a stairwell
with
a bunch of rebels all around me, and I'm jumping up like a fanny trying to get past them and can't get past.
Let's go, Freeman.
Yeah.
I would if I could get out of the way. Jesus, yeah, I've had that.
Rebels. Okay, I'm going to stay back here, right in front of you, and fucking block your way. But, yeah, that wasn't good. Didn't like that. And it did lock up on me a couple of times, which really annoyed me, because I was playing it in... I played it in,
pro,
like...
The game
two, three. Yeah, yeah. It froze on me at least three times. And that was twice in City 17 and once in the Citadel. Citadel was when I really started to like it, because that was when...
You had the gravity.
It started... You could see... Where the inspiration obviously has come from for like Portal 2, Portal and Portal 2, the whole infinite backgrounds and stuff like that, and the story starts unfolding properly there. Really enjoyed that. And I finished the game, and I like the ending.
Yep.
Love the fact that you didn't have a boss battle. Love the fact that it harks the same sort of thing as GLaDOS, where it's not really a boss battle, but it's, you know, there's something there for you to do, and you've got to get past it to finish the game. But I've got to say, I started Half-Life 2, Episode 1.
Yeah.
And I don't know if this is controversial, but I think it's better.
I don't think that's controversial.
No.
Isn't it?
That's pretty accurate.
People don't think it's, like, better, but, like, no. The thing is, like, people were waiting longer for Half-Life 2, and then Half-Life 1 came quicker, you know, but it was...
Yeah.
I mean, it's definitely, I think a lot of people just rate it as just more brilliant stuff coming. Episode 2 is fantastic as well, by the way. So you might even like that
episode
more.
Episode 2, yes. You're going
to
die.
I'll tell you what I've liked, and I'm going to put this shout, because I have been talking to numerous people that said they didn't like Half-Life 2. I've got the feel of the mechanics and stuff. It's like this is what they were evolving through when they were getting Portal up and running. The fact that you're using the gravity gun solely.
Yeah.
And that I find a lot more interesting than all of the gunplay. Although Valve's gunplay is always good.
Uh-huh.
Give them that. But the whole idea of playing through the levels with a gravity gun is a lot more appealing to me than what I did in the earlier levels of Half-Life 2.
Is it like...
So to give me...
Go on, sorry, mate.
To give me a game... Yeah, to give me a game from the start that's just throwing you into that is a lot more appealing. So I am now interested in playing Half-Life 2 Episode 1.
Okay,
whereas
but...
I wasn't Half-Life 2. Yeah.
Just to be clear, we'll keep the conversation about Half-Life 2 Episode 1 to a minimum.
Why?
Because I don't want to be spoiled, because someday I may actually finish.
Oh, you fucking moron.
Rich, let's move on. Walking Dead. Talk to me about that.
I want to talk game
mechanics, no spoiler. Let's talk Walking Dead.
I'm thinking about picking this up, by the way. Even though I've never watched The Walking Dead, I'm thinking about picking it up.
I finished it.
Yeah, Rich, is it safe to say anybody thinking about picking this game up, fucking do it. It's 400 points.
Yeah, definitely. Well, it's well worth it.
There you go.
And,
what
you
I'm
go.
Thinking, hold on. Right, what I'm thinking is, when they're all out, which they're doing this on the PS3, when they're all out, I'll get a package, like a deal.
You won't, actually, because they're not going to offer a season pass for the Xbox 360.
They've done it before, though, with Wallace and Gromit and stuff.
But they had that from the get-go.
What's the Telltale Gecko already, got anything to do with it?
The get-go.
Oh, sorry.
Telltale already said that there's not going to be a season pass for the 360 version. So
there may not be, but you know what Microsoft
could be a deal of the week, though.
Yeah. Although it is probably quite hard to discount a 400-point game. Although we have seen it, done before.
How many episodes are coming? Four?
Yes. Five episodes. So
that's
the cool
fucking
thing,
2,000 points.
Well, it's worth it. What is nice is that
I'll wait for the episodes.
They released episode one, and that's the game proper. But the way they're handling the next episodes, instead of them being actual games, they're being released as DLC for The Walking Dead episode one. So they already said that they'll be able to basically push out the episodes to the marketplace much faster because they're not going to have to jump through as many hoops.
Certification.
For certification. So, Rich, did you talk much about Walking Dead last week?
I went into it. I was about halfway through.
Greg to the show when he's on.
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly.
You go through your thoughts and then I'll just put in.
So, I love the conversation system in this game because you immediately see your choices reflected in this episode. Like in a lot of games, you kind of have to wait. You know, Mass Effect 3 was one of the prime examples of when you made a decision and it had impact on the game. Usually you didn't see the impact of that decision until much later in the game. In this game, you are called out on certain things or decisions or choices you make on your conversation tree very quickly. And it's kind of refreshing to see you get called out on it. And I think it's ingenious that they have a timer on the conversation tree.
Yeah.
So
I've heard a few
really
people
makes,
say that, yeah.
Yeah, it pushes you to think on your feet and just go with your gut instinct as opposed to, you know, looking at it going, what's the best answer? What's the best answer for the best ending? Really enjoying that. I do wish graphically they might have gone with a slightly more realistic vibe to it. They went very cartoon cel-shaded kind of look to it.
Telltale and always do that, mate.
I know.
I didn't mind that because I still immersed myself in the story.
Yeah.
And it still felt the same anyway. So
look at Pixar, mate. Look at Pixar. All the Pixar films don't look realistic on there. That you get involved.
No, it's a minor thing. Like I honestly, I'm not really upset about it at all. But I wouldn't have minded them maybe kind of cleaning it up just a little bit because certain things just don't come across quite right to me sometimes as I'm looking at the visuals. But I mean, again, it's much more about the story and the relationships and the choices you're making with these people as opposed to the action of the game. So I also found it peculiar that the way the thumbsticks are set up, the left thumbstick kind of moves you within the environment when you can move, and the right thumbstick is kind of your viewfinder, but it also is the cursor move. You move the cursor, so to speak, around.
Yeah, yeah.
Bit off spot tip.
Well,
and that's what you're about to say.
Yeah, I don't mind it, but it's when you get into action sequences where you have to be kind of quick with a response that it becomes really kind of quirky because your right thumbstick is controlling where your cursor goes. And the way the action sequences, at least so far for me, have been lining up, it's if you need to, say, punch something or kick something, you have to put the cursor or the reticle, if you will, your aiming reticle, over, say, a zombie, maybe somewhere on its face, is where there's like an activation point. Because, again, this is a point-and-click adventure kind of game, so you have to find that click point. You find it, and then there's an associated face button that pops up that's, you know, either, you know, for like punching or whatever. And so you have to take your thumb off the thumbstick and move it onto the button to activate the action. And I find half the time the zombie's moving on the screen. And so I overshoot the cursor, or the zombie moves off my reticle, and I go to push the action button and I'm not fast enough to do it, and I end up getting killed.
Oh, Greg. Yes. For God's sake, man. The gap between when you get the chance to hit and when it will actually kill you, you could drive a bloody bus for it.
There are some sequences that absolutely I would agree with you. But then there are some...
ages.
No. Yeah, anyway. Again, it's a minor thing, but I will say,
well, you're bringing it up then.
I like the fact that they did it that way in some respects, because it does add to the tension of the combat with the zombie.
Tension.
And it's kind of a unique spin on it. So you're not just button mashing, but you're having to kind of line something up and then, you know, do your action sequence. And it just kind of adds to the tension of the moment.
Should I play this before I watch The Walking Dead? Because I do intend to watch the program.
It doesn't make a blind bit of difference.
But will I appreciate it slightly more if I give a shit about this world or not?
No, you will appreciate both equally. Yeah.
I played the game GoldenEye before I watched the film, which made me like the film more.
Yeah, I think you'll have an appreciation for both.
All right, fair enough. So I've got no excuse, really.
Exactly.
I'd just like to say that I love the way that this kind of game fits in to the whole Xbox Live Arcade type scenario. These games are perfect.
Yes.
And it's the sort of thing that I would have loved to seen Alan Wake carry on with. You know, episodic content. And just slap it in there, get it going. And just
slap
keep it
going.
In. Yeah. It's definitely it's a good platform to do stuff like this. And I'd like to think that Telltale did more now on the basis of it.
Right,
and
they've been doing this for ages.
Oh, no, I know that. I know they have. And they're obviously learning from it, because the whole thing with Back to the Future, that was an issue with them, wasn't it? Because they're learning from that because of the fact that they were sending out standalone episodes, which they're now saying they're going to do as DLC, because they had issues with the release times and so on, and it screwed them up because of the amount of time it was taking them to get them out.
Right.
Yeah.
So it seems like they're building and improving on that, and I would hope that, you know, in the future, if we can see more stuff like this coming to Xbox Live Arcade, they should probably make a killing on it.
I hope so.
Because as Mike says, the PC's dead.
So, there you go.
And you don't want to be selling it on there, do you?
But no, I've changed that now. The PC's not dead. It's just dumb.
It's just dumb. Rich, any other thoughts on Walking Dead, or should we move on to your next game?
I really liked the conclusion of it. I really liked the lead into the next episode. I thought that was great. Really whets your appetite, ready for the next one. I like the fact that they're giving you more or less set deadlines for when the next one is. It's going to be on a monthly basis, so you know you're not going to be hanging around for it. So as long as they do follow through with that, then, yeah, that's good. And
Rich, one thing I wanted to touch on, you had mentioned this before, and in retrospect, now that I've been playing Walking Dead, I think you were spot on with your comment, which is you were talking about how you kind of were having to be in the right mood and frame of mind to play Walking Dead.
Definitely. Yeah.
And
yeah.
It really is kind of a case, like, I was doing the same thing. I had downloaded it. I bought it, like, day one. Knew I wanted to support this idea. But just kind of kept saying, I don't know. I don't know if I'm ready to sit down. And then I was in the mood for, like, watching The Walking Dead. And I fired this up, and it completely, you know, took care of that appetite for my desire of Walking Dead.
Once you're in as well, it has definitely grabbed you, because
yes. There's
no hesitation in wanting to get back in. And like I said, it must have been, I think I did 3 sittings on it and it was done. And it's just a great, great little experience, and it's well worth the money.
Yep. Yeah,
thoroughly enjoyed it.
For a price of like a combo meal at McDonald's.
Combo.
Yes. All right, Rich, next game.
Yeah, I had a blast on Arcade Title very briefly. Very briefly, I'll talk about it. But I did put about probably an hour or so into it. Awesome Noughts.
Oh, yeah. Awesome Noughts.
Interesting game. I'm not going to weigh in for it because I don't think anybody else will do. But I could see this being a great little co-op type multiplayer game.
It's always dangerous in an arcade game, relying on co-op.
Yeah, I know. Well, we went through, didn't we, with that always. Overland and all that lot.
Overlord, you know, I think the only successful kind of one is like Battlefield 1943, maybe, like that. Everybody picked that one up.
Yeah. Oh, Blacklight Tango Down. Me and Greg were.
Yeah.
Mate, I had that game for free, and I still can't get a game.
That was so sad.
There's another one coming.
Yeah, okay, whatever.
Shame on me. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, so it's cool because what it is, there's like a turret based gameplay area. So you've got symmetrical gameplay area where two sides are battling it out. You've got different classes that spawn in. And on your way, it's got an interesting spawning system where you get blasted down from a spaceship and you can pick up coins and currency on the way. And what you can do with this is basically buy your way through the round and upgrade and do different abilities and so on. One interesting one was that you can basically throw out an animal-based barrier, which would fend off all of the advancing other people from the other side. So what you're trying to do is basically kill the energy source of the other side. But they have numerous towers in the way, so you've got to try and battle and boss your way through them. Fairly simple gameplay areas. Nice graphics, good style to it. I think it's an 800 pointer.
Right.
And
it's not bad, it's not
the
bad.
Multiplayer aspect of it looks really good, but it is very entertaining single player as well. But what I'd say is definitely give it a go. I think you've got to be into platformers for this. Your side scrolling platformers, but it's definitely worth a try.
I've
because it's something different.
It. I just never give it a blast.
Yeah, just give it a pop.
Give it a pop.
Yeah. All right. I think I'd definitely get this if it was on offer. Definitely.
All right.
Okay.
Even if it was just to play it single player.
It's an offer game, is it? It's one of those.
Yeah. We know the slots. That one goes into the offer games. Yep.
All right. Rich, anything else?
That's about it for me. Excellent. A little bit more of Infinity Blade 2 on the iPad. Really enjoying that.
What was that?
Great, I love you, man. I love you. No, that's it for me. I'm done. Oh, well, there's Infinity Blade on the iPad. Yeah.
Oh, and these five other games.
Yeah. Are you sure you're done now, Rich?
I played an interesting demo on the 3DS, actually.
Put me
in mind of Fez. With the rotational world thing. But, yeah, I'll save that for another week.
I think I need to stop asking that question so many times with you. Because I think you have a game always in your back pocket. You have it right there. All right. For me, we already talked about Ghost Recon Beta. We talked about Trials Evolution, the greatest game in the world. Walking Dead, talked about that.
Walking Dead.
We haven't talked about. Deep Black Episode 1.
Oh, right.
Yeah.
Downloaded this as well. What's this about?
Yeah.
I've not even heard of it.
You can delete it now, Mike. So it is it's a third person shooter.
Right. So far I'm in.
Arcade title. Okay. It is I will be honest, I didn't really pay attention to the story. I had already had some preconceived notions based on some feedback I'd already heard about how brilliant this game was gonna be.
Sell it to me, Greg. Sell it to me.
I don't know that I can, Mike. Third person shooter revolving around, I don't even want to say water mechanics, because it's like you're a Navy SEAL, but you know everything you're doing is kind of like underwater infiltration into bases.
Okay. So are you swimming? Are you walking? What's going on?
You swim, but instead of actually doing like swim mechanics and like,
like how a human would swim.
Capturing, yeah, they have these little jetpacks on you that propel you through the water.
So you're flying. You
is it like Undertow?
You do the, no, it's not like Undertow.
Is it like the space scenes in Dead Space 2? Flying around and shit?
Yeah, similar, except for not as fluid.
Not as good and fun and interesting.
Yeah. You do have a cover mechanic, so you hit A to cover. Just everything about it felt like a poor man's Gears of War, poor man's Ghost Recon. I mean, just there's so many good shooters out there. To spend money on this game would be a waste. I mean, the story is horrible. I mean, dialogue is just crap. There's no dialogue actually in the tutorial section, which drove me up the wall. But then you get into the actual game, and they have, I shouldn't say the tutorial, the intro sequence. No dialogue. It's all, you know, the click, read the text, click, read the text. But then they actually have dialogue, and I kind of wish they didn't, because the voice acting is really bad. The lines are bad. And
so what are you saying is...
The whole time I just was kind
of... It's worth a shot.
No. It just feels like a badly developed third-person shooter. I think this was originally supposed to be a retail game, if I'm not mistaken. So,
really?
Whoa, yeah. Shit. Well, they broke it up, apparently episodic, because it's episode one. I am shocked there's going to be episode two.
Yeah, I'm going to make a prediction that it won't go all the way. No.
But yeah, so it just didn't impress.
It's going to be like a two-human. We'll never know the conclusion.
Yeah. Avoid, delete, you'll be a better person for it. I did play Spec Ops The Line today. The demo is out right now.
Really?
Xbox Live, yes. Gave it a go. It's the single player portion of the demo, so I was actually happy about that. So my initial impressions, graphics.
So by saying that, there is going to be a multiplayer demo.
I don't know if there's a multiplayer demo coming or not.
They've been showing the multiplayer off quite a bit, you see, Rich.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I think the single player is the right call in showing off Spec Ops The Line, because I don't think graphically Spec Ops The Line is really going to hold up to any of the other shooters coming out right now.
Online?
It looks much more like Homefront.
Okay.
That kind of graphical fidelity as opposed to, say, Ghost Recon, Battlefield 3, Modern Warfare 3. I mean, those all look much better. So this is more Homefront.
That doesn't mean it's terrible.
No, not at all. I actually am really impressed. The story, the voice acting, well done. And I want to say like 99% positive. It's Nathan Drake.
No, North, my mate.
Olin North is the voice actor.
My best buddy.
Character. Yes. And if it's not him, whoever is the lead voice in this. Does a really good job of delivering his lines.
Probably him, mate.
Yes. There's some really interesting sand physic based environment stuff that you can do. So, at one point, I was facing some bad guys, and you're with your team, and you kind of have this decision: do you just open fire and start, you know, having a firefight, or I noticed this bus that was kind of leaning on a sandbank, but you could see the bus had been filled up with sand.
Right.
Like the insides of it. But all the glass was still intact. And so instead of attacking them head on, I shot out the glass of the bus, and all this sand came pouring down on top of these guys and buried them in sand.
My eyes!
Did anyone say
my eyes?
No.
My eyes!
Yeah, apparently you can throw grenades as well, can't you? And because they're blowing up in sand, they act like smoke grenades as well.
Yes, in fact, the first time I threw a grenade, I was kind of like, what the heck just happened? Because it was kind of like a muted poof, and just some sand went off, and I saw a guy go down, but I was like, that's a little odd.
Well, you never fought in the sand like me.
No, clearly not.
I was a sand pit. I was too.
But the story seems like it's going to be pretty good. It definitely put a hook into me and made me think twice about this game, because I had kind of written this off based on what I was seeing from the multiplayer, it wasn't impressing me. I still don't know I'm sold enough to say I'm going to buy this game.
It's a renter, though, sounds like it.
Absolutely a renter. All absolutely.
Right. I'm going to add it on my love film right now.
Yeah. And they have some great, I'll say ragdoll physics, but just motion capture for the enemies getting shot.
I'll say.
Just at times you see them just slump over. You'll see them, like, if you shoot them in the leg, they might twitch back with the leg. I mean, just, to, you know, the hit
detection.
Well,
animation is so important. It gives you, it is. It's so crucial to kind of making a game feel authentic.
Yeah. It just
Uncharted gets it right, you see.
Yeah, and like I said, the story seems like it is an interesting twist on the military shooter of today.
Cool.
So
I think they need that now, don't they? Military.
Yeah, it's very Apocalypse Now, and if you've ever seen Apocalypse Now, you would understand what I'm talking about. So,
the horror.
Yes, the horror of war. And I also played the hybrid beta. So this is another third person shooter game that. Is coming out soon to Xbox Live Arcade. Basically, how to describe this? It's a cover-based shooter. You have teams of three, and kind of mechanical robot, like mercenary types. You're dressed up in full suits of, you know, body armor, that kind of thing, and you have different weapons and things you can add to them. So it has all of those kind of bells and whistles. Looks nice enough, has a very... kind of, I'll call it like a. You remember the Metal Gear VR missions? For whatever reason, I don't know if you remember that
Metal Gear.
The PS2, but it has kind of that feel of the way the rooms are set up. But basically, to move in this game, you don't actually physically run or do anything. What you do is you point at another cover point, and you hit the A button to travel there.
Okay.
And it'll automatically take you there. So you automatically fly to the next piece of cover, which is a little bit of, you know, it's a ways of distance usually. But as you're going to cover, and it's in a sense kind of auto flying, you do have the ability to kind of strafe back and forth or up and down, if you will, and kind of move yourself and aim and shoot and fire as you're moving. And then once you hit your cover point, you take cover, you can flip over the cover. What also makes it unique is that cover is not only on the floor, it's on the side of the walls, it's on the roof and the ceiling. So you're bouncing all over the place between cover points and cover points.
This is an arcade game.
It's going to be an arcade game.
Oh,
yes.
Shit. Okay.
So the shooting feels solid. It is tough to get your head around at first, the movement and always having to be on your guard. I think that the biggest challenge for me was constantly making sure nobody was flanking me because there were countless times early on where I just was getting shot from behind and I had no clue how it was happening, but you know, they had flanked me and I wasn't paying attention.
This is from the makers of Scribblenauts and Drawn to Life.
Yes,
wow.
Yes. So it's got some promise. I really want to see some different environments for this game. I think if it stays in the aesthetic that I saw in the beta, it might get a little boring. Mm-hmm. The other cool part about it, and I'll kind of wrap up on this, but you choose faction. There's two factions basically warring for control points all throughout the world. And so there's like once you choose your faction, you fight for them.
Right.
And you can't flip-flop. And... there's a world map that will show, like, say, the United States or England, and it's broken up into some subsections in the different continents. But as you fight for them, there's, like, percentages of control, and there's hot spots that appear that are, like, almost under control for your faction. And so if you go fight there, you'll get some extra experience for helping capture it, that kind of thing. So, I mean, it has this persistent world and fight, you know, kind of continuously going on. Reminds me a lot of Chrome Hounds back in one of the early launch titles in terms of how it handled the persistent world where you were constantly fighting, trying to capture territory and moving throughout the territory to win the war. But I don't know how they're going to handle resetting the war. I'm assuming they'll do something similar to Chrome Hounds, which is okay. This
Chrome Hounds is a mech game, right?
Yes, that was a mech game back in the early launch days. But anyway, so yeah, hybrid beta, something to keep an eye out for. I'm sure they will probably do some kind of they'll have to do some kind of trial for the game when it comes out, but I think it's coming out next month.
It says summer on its wiki page.
Summer not coming out next month.
So it says summer 2012. So no,
it could be next month.
We're in May now. June is summer. So, yeah, it could be.
Keep an eye out for it.
I think it might be Summer of Arcade, mate.
It might be?
Yeah.
I think that it would probably be logical. Mm-hmm. All right. That's it. Let's dive into, I guess, some new releases. All right, so new releases this week. Yeah, we know. The Wii... nothing.
Dead.
Nothing for the 3DS either.
Dead.
PS3, we got some games.
Yay.
Starhawk coming out this week. Retail shelf. PSN games, Datura. Need for Speed, The Run. And Saints Row the Third.
Don't bother with The Run. Yes. That Starhawk, how's that being received?
It's getting some decent marks so far. I think it's ranging in the eights to the low nines. So
sweet,
they've got themselves a pretty good game there.
All right, cool.
Got the talking of Saints Row the Third as well. I did play another game. I forgot about that. I did one of the DLC packs on Saturday for
the. Is that the Dominatrix one?
No, I did the Janky Ball one.
No, you missed your time to talk about that. I'm sorry, we are moving.
Mark,
on. Carry on.
Minis,
CP's dog.
Minis on the PS3.
I've never heard CP's dog sound so camp.
I know. He's so Knight Fortrix 2. He wants a mini action. You also can get the Spec Ops: The Line, the demo.
Spec Ops: The Line, the demo. The game.
Prototype 2 Colossal Mayhem DLC out. True story, Prototype 2 came to me from Gamefly, still sitting in the sleeve.
Tell you what, I can trump that, mate. I have Prototype 1 sitting in my hand from Love Film, still in its sleeve.
Perfect. PS Vita gets no love on the games and retail front, so yeah, dead platform. Xbox 360 this week, no new releases on the retail shelves, but Minecraft comes to XBLA on Wednesday. Yes, Minecraft. $20, 1,600 points, so, but the good news is you will get a trial to test it out.
Are you guys getting this?
I'm at least testing it out for sure.
I'll give it a blast.
I played it on the PC, and I found the Fortress to be a lot more playable, so... What, I don't know if they've done anything else to it. Mind you, it was beta stage when I was playing it on the PC, so it's probably come a long way since.
Good news, Rich. You will get the opportunity to test it out. Demos, Spec Ops: The Line, out now.
Spec Ops: The Line, the demo of the game.
Yeah, exactly. DLC Prototype 2, Colossal Mayhem. And deals of the week this week. If you are a Tom Clancy fan, you are in luck. All kinds of content. Half off, so Gra 2, yes, I said that, Gra 2 co-op collection, half off, 200 points. If you still somehow happen to have your Ghost Recon 2 game, you can get content for 200 points. Deniable Ops Insurgency, Air Supremacy from Tom Clancy's Hawks. By the way, the Deniable Ops was from Splinter Cell, I should say that. Splinter Cell... The actual game, Splinter Cell Chaos Theory, on sale for 800 points in the old Xbox days. And Hawks 2 all-in-one pack for 400 points. And Tom Clancy's End War Escalation Expansion Pack for 200 points.
Unit 1, attacked. Series 4, I'm a virgin.
And that is it for the old new releases. And now, you know, guys, it's that time. It's the news quiz time. I know you guys live for this. You love this.
Oh, this is the best part of the day.
You want answers? I think I'm entitled.
You want answers?
I want the truth. You can't handle the truth.
And I have a bonus question. I'm just going to throw it out there right now. There is a bonus question, and it is for Rich. A specific Richard Primrose, non-breathing into the mic through my nose question.
Look, what do you – you tell me to put the mic up. When I put it up, it's nearer my nose. What do you want me to say?
I want you to hold your breath for the entire podcast.
I'm going to get a peg. I'll get a peg.
All right. News quiz time. Here we go. Mark, I hope you are ready.
Hey, sort of.
Starting with you. All right. With Call of Duty Black Ops 2, the trailer being released last week. Yeah. Info on the new game has now started to leak out and come forward through a lot of people's hands-on experience with it. So what new gameplay element is being touted that sets it apart from the previous COD games? Is it A, futuristic mech-like drones? Is it B, RTS gameplay elements? Or is it C, branching story path?
I'm not really that interested because I saw the trailer and the futuristic bit just put me right off anyway. I'd say the mech bit. I saw there's some mechs in the trailer.
Well, so the good news for you is you couldn't go wrong with this. All three answers are right. So in listening to Giant Bomb, they were talking about it. Jeff Gerstmann was reporting back on it. And basically they have all the futuristic mech, mech drones and stuff in the game, giving it a very Ghost Recon kind of vibe. And it also has an RTS element. Within the game, at some at points, you'll be able to play these kind of like almost like a spec op kind of mission that as you play it, you'll be able to take yourself out into like a commander view and actually order the soldiers, the drones, your forces basically to attack certain points on the map. And you'll be able to go in and actually take control of any unit on that battlefield at the time. And as battle units are killed or destroyed, there are replacement units that come into play, but eventually you will run out of either time and or units. And if you don't complete the capturing of point, the game won't be a game over situation. The game will just basically kind of take you on a different path, and it will log that you didn't capture this point or that you did, and that will affect the gameplay. There will also be other supposedly other elements in the game where you will be forced to make a choice or a decision. And, again, that will have effects on the gameplay.
Something I got from it as well was it seems as if they're trying to merge the Spec Ops idea into that gameplay, whereby you zoom out of the map like you would do between stages. Mm-hmm. And you're getting that choice of picking where you want to go to next. But some of these ones, what they were saying was, once you go in, it's almost as if you're in like a spec ops scenario. So you've got to complete that stage. And if you can, then you can move on from there and so on. So,
yeah.
It's very interesting.
I have to say, it piqued my interest. This game kind of was not really on my radar at all. I was pretty much ready to write it off, and now I am intrigued. I want to learn more.
All I'll say is...
They need to change it up, though, don't they, from the regular...
All I'll say is, yeah, so at generic. Least they're trying something new.
Yeah.
If flop or, you know, non-flop, stiff, right, flop or stiff, they, you know, at least they gave it a go. Because where else do you go? If you try Alcohol Infinity, what do you do?
The future, Marty. To the future.
To the future.
All right. Mike, you are up next. Elder Scrolls Skyrim DLC is finally
been announced. Oh, goody. A game I know all about.
Yes. And that's why I picked you, Mike.
Mm.
Is the new DLC titled Stormguard, Dawnguard, or Northguard?
Dawnguard.
It is indeed. Yep. Dawnguard. Yes. And we should be learning more about it at E3, but I know there's many Skyrim fans, so I just thought I would throw that out there. I'm sure every Skyrim fan already knows about this, though.
Is there a release date?
No release date as of yet, but I'm sure, other than it's going to arrive in the summertime, that's all we know as of right now, but I'm sure at E3 they will make an official announcement. All right, Rich, Ghost Recon Future Soldier Alpha came out this past week. Now, this was a movie that was produced by, or I should say, backed by Ubisoft, and they put it out onto places like G4TV.
I was going to say, but yeah, how much G4TV? Did we pay for that?
We paid a lot. But what is supposedly the relationship of this movie to the upcoming game? Is it a prelude to events of the game? Is it a separate mission in the canon of the Ghost Recon game? Or is it an indie film that bears resemblance but has no relationship to the game?
I'm going to go for the first one.
First one is a good choice, Rich. Yeah, Ghost Recon Alpha. If you haven't seen it, I highly recommend checking it out. I watched it. It was very entertaining. It's a 25-minute short film and live-action prelude to the events of Ghost Recon Future Soldier. The movie splices in some live-action footage with from Alpha with some of the in-game shots in the multiplayer map created as a matching homage. And also during the movie, you can hunt for a hidden code that unlocks an exclusive gun in Ghost Recon Future Soldier. Yeah, there you go. Gun unlocked. Yeah,
sorry.
I can hear the excitement. That's all right. Mark.
But did you find it?
No.
You watched it?
Not at all. I barely looked for it. Mark, you are up next. Microsoft has made official their new bundle offering for the Xbox 360. What is the latest offer available in Microsoft stores only? Is it A, and this is, unfortunately, it's a U.S. thing, so yeah, I didn't have an American on the podcast. I'm sorry, guys. But is it A, $175 U.S. for a 4-gig 360 with Kinect and 3 months of Xbox Live Gold?
Oh, is it this.
B, $99 and a $15 a month subscription for 2 years for a 4-gig with Kinect and Xbox Live Gold for 2 years?
That would be a ripoff.
Or is it C, free with a 5-year sign-up for a $20 a month fee for a 4-gig Kinect bundle and 5 years of Xbox Live Gold.
And your firstborn child.
I actually know this. I read about this earlier today or yesterday. It's actually B, $99, and then you're tied in for 2 years like a phone contract, $15 a month.
Yeah.
It's
ridiculous. What? So, let's talk about this. Let's talk about I don't know how ridiculous this really is.
I think it's very
clever.
Come on,
Greg.
Think it's clever and Rich. Yeah. Hear me out. So when you do the math, the new $99 bundle comes out to be about $40 more if you bought everything separately on its own. Okay, so I will concede it is slightly more expensive than if you would buy it on its own. However, I think looking at this plan, $99 up front, you get to take home an Xbox 360 console with Kinect and Xbox Live Gold, plus you get a 2-year protection plan that's included with this pack. With this,
which you don't need now because it worked for 2 years.
True, but at least you have a 2-year contract protection plan as opposed to not being protected after a year. So there is value there.
That's like saying at least you have volcano insurance.
Exactly. I think this is actually potentially the future of how consoles are going to get launched.
So the total cost of that would be about $468.
Correct.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So your Xbox Live membership for 2 years would be in America.
Are you asking me a question or are you just...
Yeah, because I don't know how much it is in dollars over there.
It's $60 a year.
So that's $120 on top of what you'd normally pay for that console. Is it more or less?
I'm thinking
it's going to be less.
The normal console is, what, $250 right now for the 4-gig with Kinect?
Mm. Yeah.
So
you're going to pay $370, so they're making about $100.
Motherfuckers.
Exactly.
But it's just like having a phone contract, isn't it? If you bought the phone outright, it's a big outlay initially.
Don't get me wrong. If this sort of offer would come out for the next-gen console, then it'd be great. Because I could get past the missus quite easily.
Yes.
And she wouldn't know.
that's why I was kind of saying, I think this is the test bed for how Microsoft may try to at least position than Xbox.
If it sells, then I think it will be like the way it's goes on.
Or,
even more intriguingly, it's possibly a market structure that they're looking at for the low-end thing that's going to be the entertainment bundle that's going to rival Apple TV.
It's possible.
Yeah, because you have to have gold for that, don't you?
Exactly. Yeah. So that's what you're probably looking... This is like a test platform, probably, for that.
Yeah. Yeah, it's an interesting move. I think it is a smart move for Microsoft. I know it's not a deal, so to speak, and I know a lot of people were up in arms about it costs more. Why would you do that? Because if I'm at the store and I'm with little Timmy and I look and I think, you know what? I can just get... You know, I've got $100 on me. I can spend that. I can't spend $300
to get it. You carry $100 around with you. Jesus Christ.
Falls out of my pocket every day. yeah, I think that has value, and that's where I think this is a pretty ingenious plan, because we're already so, you know, trained, especially here in the U.S. with our carriers, that every phone is $99 with a 2-year contract, unless you want to buy it on its own and it's $500. I think this is it's a potential changing of the guard for the consoles. But anyway, Mike,
you have to pay $99 and then a monthly contract.
Yes.
Jesus Christ.
Well, it's no different than our phone service here. You know, I bought my Evo. Actually, I had to pay $200 for my Android Evo.
And still a monthly contract.
And still a two-year subscription for a service, yeah.
You crazy, son.
That's the same over here, Mike. If you're going to go for a smartphone...
Depends what phone you get, but not me. Not me.
Alright. EA, Mike, held its investor call this week.
Alright.
And amongst all the financial talk, they revealed a new game for an existing IP to release fourth quarter of 2012 that had not been, and technically hasn't been, formally announced yet. Is it A, Need for Speed, B, Dead Space, or C, EA Active?
Repeat the question again, mate. Sorry.
EA held its annual investor call this week.
Right.
And amongst all the financial talk, as they were reporting things, they actually revealed a new game for an existing IP to release in fourth quarter of 2012.
So, and you said Need for Speed, Dead
Need for Speed, Dead Space, or EA Active.
Okay, get rid of...
The key being the game had not been ever announced prior to this.
Officially. I'm going to say, well, Need for Speed is inevitable. We know there's going to be another one of those, and I think it's Hot Pursuit 2 anyway. So that wouldn't really be news. No one cares about EA Active, so I'll go for Dead Space 3.
So ironically, Mike, you were right with Need for Speed.
Motherfucker.
Yeah. So in their conference call, they had some investor data that came up on screen, and EA showed a Need for Speed title listed on EA's financial slideshow scheduled for Q3 of fiscal year 2013, which is fourth quarter 2012. And it places it right around October 2012.
Ta-da! Who'd have thunk it?
EA had already mentioned that Dead Space is among its coming blockbuster titles for the year, so...
That's not been officially announced, has it?
It's been unofficially announced. They said it's coming.
It's coming. Shut up.
Yeah. They just haven't had an official trailer release. But this one was kind of one of those things where they weren't planning on making any talk about Need for Speed. It just was on their financial report.
There's probably going to be a Dead Space.
Surely that's going to be first quarter of next year, isn't it?
Yeah, I'd say so.
Yeah.
Following what they've done previously.
Yes. Yeah. Rich. Google recently announced its Android marketplace known as Google Play hit a milestone in downloads of 15 million downloaded apps a few weeks ago. But how does that compare to the iOS App Store as of March this year? How many iOS apps have been downloaded since 2008?
Oh my God.
Is it A, 25 million apps, B, 250 million apps, or C, 25 billion apps?
Well, they broke 200 because they had a big thing on the website when that happened. What was the third one?
25 billion.
No, I'm going to go for the second one, which was 200 and whatever.
200 whatever?
Yeah.
Well, although Google has served up 15 I guess it's 15 billion. My bad.
What?
The iOS. So Google, I'm reading this now. So it's actually 15 billion.
Okay.
Apps that Google has had downloaded. So I apologize.
Question's not even there, right?
It's not even.
And Mark gets questions where all the answers are right.
More importantly,
what's going on?
The Apple iOS, 25 billion apps downloaded since 2008.
Oh, maybe you would have said it was billion, then. Yeah.
Billion's kind of crazy. Yeah, that is completely my mistake.
That sounds right, because, like, I read, you know, million, draw something alone, like,
billion.
Add 5 million.
Yeah. Pretty crazy numbers, though, for the iOS store.
Yeah, because they're very disposable, aren't they? You know what I mean? It's like, how many pens do people sell? But millions. Because they're just disposable. They're cheap. They're easy. Then they're done.
True.
People
they
give
are.
Them away.
Rich.
Pens.
Rich, this is your bonus question. I thought of this, and once I saw this question, I immediately knew you had to have this.
Dark Souls.
Being the Dark Souls cult member that you are, how many units has Dark Souls sold according to Namco Bandai Financials?
5.
Is it A? Is it A, 1.19 million, B, 2.57 million, or C, 3.11 million?
It's weird, Greg. You didn't put the option 10 in there.
How popular was Dark Souls?
Well, it's in the millions at least.
If I remember rightly, Demon Souls didn't crack that money. One point was a successful game. I wouldn't go middle of the road again with the 2 point whatever.
Now, actually, it's only 1.19
million. Yeah, yeah. Well, it's feasible. I can remember Demon's Souls didn't sell that money.
Yeah, but still,
even
it's
I didn't
a success.
Play
that.
That's a good number, mate. That's a good number.
It's a good number.
It is a good number.
Yeah. I just thought you'd find that a little interesting.
Yeah, anyway,
that's the news quiz, guys.
Yeah.
What's more interesting is I heard somebody Twitter today that they finally learned the ability to teleport, and that really excites me.
That is incredibly exciting. In fact,
anybody that can tell me how you learn to teleport in Dark Souls, please.
Oh, in Dark Souls? I think it's in real life.
I know. I was like, wow, that is amazing stuff.
I was getting
excited. Should talk about that on that community mailbag around the corner.
Monopoly was not for me. Chess made me stressed out to the only way I could get down was with pocket electronics and bleeps. Ever since my Game Boy made toys obsolete, I've been a well-behaved boy that played inside and stayed off the street. Yes, I got my electric shocks from Tetris blocks and Mario Land. Though there wasn't much room for much but mushrooms, I was the man. With a pad in my hand, hammering at it while eating my breakfast. Being the best, that was the plan. Beating the rest and leaving them breathless. Please believe me, nobody could beat me at Tetris. I fucking rock, dropping blocks, like heads off chopping blocks. I was on some next shit. And I've still got a flame for puzzle games like HD Hexic. But when the PC came, my gaming taste became eclectic. This day is grim, it's raining. What wonderful weather for gaming. The sun's blazing, so let's stay in. It's wonderful weather for gaming. The geeky one. I really wanted a PC CD-ROM, then got it. 8 mega RAM, a CRT screen, she was some top kit. 3 moments were devoted to keystrokes and the odd click. Far more into Dark Forces than even the Star Wars kit. And Civilization 2's a brilliant game that you really should play, and I still do today. Computer games improve your brain, it's proven, mate. So if you behave in stupid ways, then please refrain from blaming GTA. I really hate excuses, I may just shoot my teacher's face. Nah, I'm already embroiled in getting these Tesla coils ready in my base. The Russians are coming with trucks full of gum and I need to be safe. But maybe the Green Beret could lead the way and see us through. At least till we replace the PC games with PS2. This day is grim, it's raining. What wonderful weather for gaming. The sun's blazing, so let's stay in. It's wonderful weather for gaming. Take
taking control of somebody else's console with no remorse. I was so debauched, my only thoughts were total scores on Tony Hawk. Or running amok in Smuggler's Run, smuggling guns and drugs for fun, and pulling a gun on any NPC I'll see or stumble upon. GTA 3 made me inclined to kill repeatedly. The spinal chills of Silent Hill are still in my mind and creeping me the fuck out. Look out, pull out your sawn-off shotgun, cause there's a hot zombie nurse that wants to hurt you and cut off your oxygen. But as much as asphyxiation may be lots of fun, I've got a crush, a fixation with PlayStation. I'm in love. So I said to the PS2, me and you need a breather. Then in three clicks I'd ordered an Xbox 360 off eBay. This day is grim, it's raining. What wonderful weather for gaming. The sun's blazing, so let's stay in. It's wonderful weather for gaming. So we switched teams to the 360, glitch free, lots of slick features, HD, I don't miss leads. Gears is my gear, but it gets my hits from Hitman. The Bioshock has Mass Effect as I sink into oblivion. Splinter Cell's mint as well, and Rainbow Six takes no prisoners, it's the business. And the cover system's fucking wicked. Ducking and chucking a frag, blind fire from behind piles of rubble and dipping them up in a bag. I'm loving the lack of health packs, putting a plaster on a fracture or a shrapnel gash, what the hell's that? In the new generation of computer gaming, you hold the left trigger halfway down or let the computer do the aiming. So what are you complaining for? The Forza scoreboard's been reset. Shut up and improve your gamer score before you get the dreaded red ring of death. This day is grim, it's raining, what wonderful weather for gaming. The sun's blazing, David's raiding, it's wonderful weather for gaming.
Alright, so community mailbag. Yeah, last week, Mike, as much as you did a great fine job, I came to find out there was a lot of email responses we didn't get. And a whole forum post that we didn't see.
I think I've figured out why. It's because you probably read them.
Possibly, yeah. Maybe I either myself or maybe Rich, I don't know. But, yeah, if you click on it, the Google Mail shows it as having been read.
Read, and I didn't know.
Don't blame me, I can't read.
Rich, I blame you for everything.
I blame Nottingham for the reason you can't read, mate.
So, you know, we had this question last week. What game is on your radar now that wasn't at the start of the year? And we had so many responses we missed. I thought, you know what, we need to do these people some service.
I'm sorry, everyone.
That's okay.
Everybody got really pissed off.
They did, actually. They sent hateful messages like, it's okay. And then there was a really bitter one saying, no worries, next time. And then a really angry one, and it was like, it's cool. So, we felt the community getting pissed. So, We need to read their emails.
All right.
So, Mike, you're up next, first, if you will.
Next and first.
Next and first. Hell Patrol. He sent us an email.
Oh, yeah. So he did.
Are we repeating the question?
We did just now.
Oh, yeah, we did.
Just literally seconds ago.
Not only can I not read, I can't listen either.
It's okay, Rich.
Also,
it sounded
you can't listen when you're having a power nap. Right. So,
yeah. Rich, the question, it sounded something like this. What game is on your personal radar now that wasn't at the start of the year?
Oh, yeah, that's it.
Hell just Patrol like said Dishonored is really on my radar now. From the clips I've seen, the game looks really interesting and appears to be bringing something new to the table. Seen a reveal trailer for Black Ops 2 this morning. This is going to be set slightly in the future, 2025, I think. Although it was on my radar, I didn't know the timeline, so I'll be following the updates closely now. Saw a clue about the timeline the other day on FPS Russia's YouTube channel. If anybody doesn't know who FPS Russia is on YouTube, please, my God, please. Watch that channel, because he's so funny. Yes, so if you've seen his channel, apparently he was using a quadcopter I think I did see the thumbnail of it. I don't think I watched it, though. Which was sponsored by COD, so if you haven't seen it, check it out. Mark, a.k.a. Hell Patrol.
Sweet. Thanks for that. Mr. Primrose, I believe you are covering the next email.
Hmm. It's Mr. Eric Piotrowski.
Yes.
And all he had to say about games on his radar were, we are getting Skyrim DLC details at E3. And put a link in for Dawnguard.
Yeah.
And then went on to say, oh boy, 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 oh boy. Sorry, I can't write more. School is kicking my butt. Hugs, Duke.
Nice. Mark, if you would be so kind.
Yeah, this one's from Parsnip. And he's put, hi, guys. I'd have to agree with Rich regarding Skylanders. Not only is it wonderfully innovative, but it's also amazingly good marketing too. It's not the kind of marketing that makes you feel ripped off, though. It's designed well enough that even you know you're being sold to, you still feel like you're getting real value for money and a fun experience. It's easy to turn a blind eye to in-game marketing and with something so innovative. Anyhow, there's a couple of aspects Rich didn't mention. One of which is the ingenious marketing department. If you die while playing a chapter, you can simply place another character on the base and continue with him. Once all your characters are dead, you have to restart the chapter. Therefore, if you own 3 characters, you have 3 lives. If you own 30 characters, then you've got 30 lives. So when you buy a new character, not only are you opening up a new in-game ability and place to visit, but you're effectively buying one more life. Very clever indeed.
So that's why my son started shoplifting.
And he says games have a bad press.
The second point is brought up, which Rich didn't mention, is in addition to the new characters, you can purchase DLC in the form of items which you place onto the base. My kids just bought a pack containing some kind of chalice and a potion, which gives them new abilities. But as far as I know, it also came with a new adventure. If you look at his regular DLC, it's heftily priced at $20. But this is as much a toy and or a collectible as it is a video game. So $9 for a new character or $20 for 3 somehow doesn't seem too much. I'd strongly recommend this to anyone with children. Mine are 5, 7 and 10. And they all have a great time with it. When they aren't playing it, they're talking about it.
Okay. Is Greg dead?
No, I'm not dead. Not at all. So lag. Sorry, I'm getting lost in my own notes here. Jeez Louise.
Oh, you're reading.
I know, I'm reading. Lag had a lot to say. They had a few different responses. So GamerGirl27 said, Ghost Recon Future Soldier, the more I see of this gunsmith deal and the trailers, as much as I said Game of Thrones was the last game I'd buy for a while, maybe not. Dishonored just seems like a really cool concept.
I'm not going to be out for a while, don't worry.
Yeah. Right. Z Formulas. He said he was looking forward to trying this one as well. I'm assuming he's responding to Gamer Girl about Ghost Recon Future Soldier and Dishonored.
Or Dishonored, yeah.
Sid chimed in, said, I was completely out of the whole MMO business, but then I found Terra.
I love the fact that it's a business.
Yeah, it is a business.
I ain't in that shit no more, man. I officially retired from WoW last year.
Thanks, Mike.
No problem.
But he found Terra. He says, I'll be giving it a shot in a couple of days. So there you go, Terra.
I have no idea what that is.
Terra, it's an online MMO. Didn't you just hear me?
Yeah, no,
Ghost Recon Future Soldier was not on my radar, according to the real Defoe. He says, but after playing the beta, I pre-ordered it from Amazon. And Speed Limit 7 chimed in saying, Assassin's Creed 3, hands down. Jasper DM, Darksiders 2, watched way too many trailers on the FB Darksiders page, Facebook Darksiders page. Now I'm pumped.
You know what? Darksiders is a game that I didn't really like the first one, but it wasn't that bad. And then the more I think about it, I was like, ah, actually, it was pretty good. And now, there are now twos coming. I think, yeah, you know what? So I'm getting a little bit excited about it.
Yeah, I mean, it really was a modernized, not modernized, but updated Zelda gameplay, if you will.
Yeah, with gore.
With gore.
Yeah, I've still got Darksiders to play. That's one of my pile of shames games I'll be doing in the next 8 weeks. I've had
it's a good game,
Mark. Even played it.
It's a really, really good game.
Yeah.
Well, Lousy Geezer said, aside from Ghost Recon Future Soldier, I gotta say Spec Ops The Line and a little thing called Max Payne, baby.
Oh, yeah! I'm with this guy.
Yeah, Max Payne, I think...
That's scary. No more Gamerscore Challenge, Mark.
The Real Defoe chimed back in and said, oh, yeah, I'm adding Dishonored to my list. The new trailer has me very interested. I have to say, Dishonored does look quite good.
We'll see. We'll see.
We'll see.
Yeah, that's a trailer. That's all I'm saying.
It is
a trailer. I'll like to see gameplay with these things.
Well, gameplay is king. I mean, we always like to see gameplay.
So it's, you know, the Vampire Rain trailer can look exciting, you know what I mean? It's not difficult to make a trailer exciting.
It did, actually, yeah. I will say, Vampire Rain, I remember that. I was like, oh, this is going to be good.
It's going to be good. Yeah, trailers are deceiving. You know, when you watch like a trailer for a comedy film, and you think, that looks like one of the funny-ass films in the world, and you realize that every joke that was in the trailer was the only decent jokes.
Yeah.
Or something like that. So, yeah, trailers are deceiving.
Yeah. In fact, if we had a trailer for the show, it probably would be doing that.
Oh, yeah, the trailer would be awesome. I should make a trailer, shouldn't I?
You should.
Record for a dream.
Alright, so the good news, Mike. We covered all the things we missed last week. So now we can get on to the new question of the week, which was, what are you most interested in seeing at E3?
What are you most interested in seeing at E3?
So, Lag chimed in with a few responses. The Real Defoe said, this may sound strange, but I don't know what I'm looking forward to. By that I mean I want what I enjoy the most about E3 is learning and seeing new games, consoles, etc. that I've not heard about yet. So he likes the surprise. So I guess what he wants to see is the surprise. Ensign Deadmeat said, since there will probably be no showings for PS or Xbox, then in what I want to actually see what the Wii U is all about and how much it will be. So,
oh, you will. You will, mate.
He's not going to find out how much it's going to be. They've already said they're not going to announce the price at E3.
Yeah, but they'll
find out the guts for sure.
Some shit.
Yeah.
We'll see some games. It'll be the talk of E3, the Wii U, definitely.
Oh, without a doubt. I think it's going to dominate. Blaine RTFM said a sneak peek at Black Ops 2 and Halo 4.
Yep,
new
you'll
Gears
get those.
Of War announcement would have been nice, but it looks like they are waiting for new hardware from Microsoft before starting another installment.
Yeah.
And last but not least, Jasper DM said, anything on Black Ops would be nice. Perhaps a peek at Borderlands 2 and a surprise announcement. Surprise announcements are always fun. So that's what Lag had to say.
You don't get many surprise announcements at the last couple of E3s.
Well, there's been a lot of leaks. You know, it kind of takes away... If you want to be surprised about E3, I will say this. Don't read...
Stay off the internet.
Stay off the internet the week before, because it seems like usually these companies are able to hold these secrets pretty close to vest all the way up until the week before, and then it's like they just vomit information.
Yeah.
And everybody finds out what all the surprises are, and it's like, okay, there's nothing surprising coming from E3. So,
I think Microsoft did well with the Slim, though, didn't they, where they lifted the old console and the Slim was underneath. That was a surprise for everyone.
It was a surprise up until the day before. And then there was this Kmart ad that came out that showed the Slim model. So, you know, again, it's one of those things.
The fact that it was underneath that console was a surprise.
That was the surprise. All right. I believe
There's a smaller one underneath that one as well. That was funny. No, there was. That would have been funny, though.
Mark, being the oldest gate member here, literally.
Second oldest.
Damn it. But no, you are going to read the gate responses.
Right. Pudlight has said that he's like to see if either Sony or Microsoft show anything on next-gen consoles.
Nope.
GTA 5 info, which is one I want. The Last of Us info. Tomb Raider info.
Yes.
Yep.
And an announcement that EA has gone bankrupt.
Not going to happen.
Tomb Raider's gone really quiet, hasn't it?
It'll come back, mate. It'll come back pretty soon. Definitely.
It'll come back in a big way.
Coming out this year.
Womble has put Halo 4 and the goodies contained within the Legendary Edition. He's a massive Halo fan, is Womble. He wants to inform the Steam Box and the next box, and that's pretty much about
Steam
it.
Steam Box won't be there.
I want no news about a Steam Box.
No, Valve have already said that they're not. They're just talking about games they've already announced, like Dota and Glow. What do you call it? What's the big Counter-Strike? There you go.
And I know Mike Nelson's podcast, they've said that Microsoft aren't announcing anything about hardware as well.
Yeah.
Nah. And I doubt PlayStation will. They might hint at it, but they won't show it.
Speaking of Counter-Strike, did anybody see that inside Xbox video on Counter-Strike?
No.
It was up on the dashboard. I honestly wasn't that impressed.
Counter-Strike. Yeah. You've seen it before.
I know.
It's the gameplay, mate. It's the gameplay.
I know. I definitely have to go hands-on with it, but... Yeah, it kind of put me off a little bit. I have to be very honest.
It's nothing new, but like, mate, it's gonna get such a big following. Counter-Strike.
I know.
You know what I mean? Like, I'm gonna buy it, and I'm not a massive Counter-Strike fan, but I'm gonna buy it because I know it's gonna be popular. It's gonna be good. It's gonna be polished. So yeah, I'm gonna get. And it's Valve.
Continue on, Marvel. Continue on.
Hot Chutney. She has put. I would love to see what more they have in store as far as Kinect games that are not lame. I hope they will have some new releases that actually have good use of the Kinect and not just some voice command features and hand gestures.
What's with that?
Also, I am interested to see if Sony and Microsoft will have anything to announce about new consoles. Finally, I am hoping they will show some videos and give some info about Halo 4 and the new Star Trek game.
Yep.
I would just
the Star Trek game is a PS3 exclusive.
I don't believe it's exclusive.
Ah.
But either way, I would like to point out, Hot Chutney, I know you want to say you want to have something more than just hand gestures and voice commands, but that's kind of what Kinect is.
Well, Fred, that's what it does.
I mean, I'm a big Kinect fan, but that kind of is the core of what Kinect delivers, voice commands and, you know, tracking hand gestures.
I had an interesting one today. You know, you're talking about Star Trek. You want to switch it over to Star Wars. Apparently, somebody's from LucasArts, they've filed a domain name, Star Wars CT1616, which this was on a film website, and they were saying that it was alluding to the fact that there might be a Boba Fett film coming. And that then got discounted, and they said that they reckoned it's more likely to be a video game because CT1616 apparently was one of the aliases that he used in one of the books.
Mm.
So let's see if that happens.
Huh. All right. Continue on.
Completely off at a tangent.
Yeah. Hot Chutney's other half, Shinyverse, and last week's guest host, I am most interested in seeing Dust514 in action at E3. With the public beta beginning in late June, I imagine that CCP Games and Sony will have a lot of gameplay video to show off. I want to see if there will be any new hardware announcements from Microsoft and or Sony. It will be fun to see the Wii U at the show and to see how unexcited developers are for the new machine. I will intently watch the E3 coverage to find out about all the previously announced, unannounced titles coming this year and in 2013. During last year's show, I ended up with a list of 30 to 40 titles I was interested in and followed them all year. I am very excited to see what kind of list I will have this year. There are already a number of great titles coming out this year that we know about. I cannot wait to see what will be announced at this year's E3.
Excellent.
Steve-O-Matic, he's put anything that can get me excited, really. I am looking forward to less than a handful of games right now. I would like something to grab my attention and give me some anticipation. So he's very needy, by the sounds of it.
Ah, Steve. There's probably some jokes to be made there, but I'm not going to go there.
I'd like to see Respawn step up to the plate and say something about what they're doing.
I'm sure we're going to hear about Respawn and Bungie at some
point. They were saying that last year, though. Like, everyone's like, Respawn, spend time, Respawn. Me included. I was like, oh, Respawn are going to announce something, but they never did. So
I think it's
two-year game dev cycle, I suppose, but it could be 3 years. It could be 4 years.
What about Bungie?
Yeah, but man, they've got a 10-year contract. It's not like they're in a rush.
It would take 9 years.
Let's put some Space Marine shit together.
I think it's time we tag on to the emails for the show.
Emails,
yes. Mr. Primrose, I believe you have the first email.
I do indeed. First email is from Aaron Stevens, famous author of fantasy novels, etc.
Stolen Moon of Londor.
Yeah. I'm about halfway through it now.
Just, elves just,
Aaron,
and elves.
Aaron, I'm still reading it, mate. You've got to understand, I've got three kids. I'm a very slow reader.
No, Aaron, you have to understand. Rich is very slow.
Yeah, full stop. Anyway, he goes on to say, hi, gents. Been a while. Had a request this week. Greg, give us your best Trials Evolution rock and roll style scream impression. Like the one that the rider makes when he jumps.
I'm really good at this.
How's that? I know, that's horrible. Mike, try one.
Wow!
Much better. I couldn't remember how he sounded, but that was it. You nailed it, Mike.
Thank you, mate.
I broke eardrums. You nailed the melody, the whole.
Yeah. You look like you just like stepped on some coal or something.
Oh, I think I actually dirted my shorts there trying to do that. Anyway, sorry.
Wow!
Yeah, he carries on. He's got a question. I like it when we get questions. If anybody's got questions, email in to us. Don't worry about just our boring question of the week. Send us a question. Yeah, anyway, he goes on. What game have you reached the highest in their leaderboards? I once was number one in the world of 3D Ultra Mini Golf for XBLA for a long time. You're not the only one that bought it, are you, Aaron? Is that why you were number one? Was getting invites from random people all over the world that challenged me to a match, and I also stayed in the top 0.5% of execution players for Gears of War 1. That's props for that, man.
Yeah.
That's cool. How about you? What's your top leaderboard moment? Go around the table. What do you reckon?
All right. Mark, why don't you fire it up first?
When Forza 3 hit, I was 25th in the world on a particular track on the Hot Lap Challenge. But that's because it came out before the US guys and I wasn't on there long before I soon dropped. But for 2 days, I was 25th, and that was a proud moment.
All right. Mike, what about you?
Gears of War, I was easily in the top top 50 weekly, and monthly I was probably in the top 100 maybe when I was getting my 10,000 kills achievement. And then, yeah, overall I was probably up there as well, on Warzone. I was probably up there.
Right on.
So, and Geometry Wars I do okay on. Two, that is. Geometry Wars 2 I do alright on. I seem to do alright. And those ones.
Okay. I think for me, gosh, Trials HD. And that first beginner track, I went through and posted up a time that was ranked up in the, I think it was the top 1,000 at the time. And those times were insanely fast. And I just barely hung on to finish the stupid track and get the time. And I remember two things. One, I beat your time, Mike, which made me ecstatic.
Oh, yeah.
And two, it was a time that you were going to be hard-pressed to beat. And I still don't know if you've beaten that.
I haven't got a clue. I haven't put Trolls HD on for ages.
No, neither have I. I might have to go look now, see where I'm on the leaderboards. I'm probably like
1 million.
10 million, yeah. Rich, what about you?
When I was about 13, I did a
nerd.
I did a hard reset on the Salamander machine in the local arcade, so it reset all the high scores. So for a very brief moment, I had the number one score. As far as consoles are concerned, no, I'd I don't really pay attention to leaderboards, and that's probably because I'm not very good at getting up them.
That's why Friends leaderboards is so good this generation.
It is.
So good.
I'm still not normally getting very high on them either.
I know, but at least you kind of like can compete a little bit.
At least you feel like it's somewhat of a level playing field as opposed to...
Unless your marmite snowman on Trolls Evolution.
My achievements are normally round-to-round ones when I know that I'm playing with a lot of friends. I just try and aim to get mid-table or above. And if I'm doing that, then I'm quite happy.
Okay.
We're playing COD and stuff, yeah. Anyway, he carried on to say, keep up the good work, and cheers. So that was
cheers,
Alan
ears.
Stevens.
Hope you know his grouse.
Yeah.
Oh, he's got a PS as well. Scrolling down. Here you go. PS of Thieves and Elves is out now. It's a shameless plug. and it's an ebook for the Kindle and Nook. Worldwide for $2.99. Lots of action and adventure. Encourage people to give it a download and read. It's also available now as a hardcover for $21.95. And what I'd recommend is, if you're feeling a bit of fatigue from playing Skyrim, because this is what I did, read a bit of this book and it gets you back into the idea of playing Skyrim. So there you go. Get it ready for the DLC. Go out and buy it.
Rich, I think you need to scroll down a little bit on the page.
Oh, and there's another one. There's a P-P-P-S. Yeah, Greg, I'm coming for your little white dots. Is that some sort of a...
That's a Trials Evolution.
I was going to say. Yeah. Is that
not a sexual thing.
Is that not a sexual talk?
No. No penicillin will cure that. No, in Trials Evo, the white dots are... Your friends are represented by white dots progressing through the track. So...
Okay.
Mike's dot now appears as a red dot for me.
Because I'm a rival.
Yes, indeed. Mike, speaking of rivals.
Yeah, a rival from another fine podcast, Eric Piotrowski, also known as Duke Scaths, emails in and says, I wish to protest in the strongest possible terms at something said by Mr. Primrose on last week's show. Whilst reporting the news that Nintendo had recently reported a loss, he asked Mr. Chin about the last time this had happened. Chin replied, never. And Primrose said, that is correct. Surely this is impossible. As you may or may not know, Nintendo was founded in 1889 as a trading card company, and over time has ventured into many other areas, including taxi service, love hotels, and instant noodles. To suggest that in the company's 123-year history that Nintendo has never suffered a loss ever is ludicrous, to say the least. Every news report I read said that it was the first loss for Nintendo since they began making video game consoles, which is true. Please correct your error with a start of the show on air apology and a donation of $10,000 to the Tour de Timor bike ride taking place the 20th of May in the beautiful Madison, Wisconsin. Cheers, Duke Scath. Well, you can forget your start of the show on air apology.
Yeah.
And $10,000 is in the check, is in the mail.
It's been recalled. It's been recalled.
Oh. Boing.
Eric, as much as we would like to, when we're wrong, make a correction on air and admit to it, I did a little research because, you know, I saw your response and I thought, wow, you know, Eric seems like, you know, he's put forward some good thought here. So I went to Forbes.com, looked up the news release for this, and per Forbes.com, you know, that financial website report.
Don't talk to Duke about financial websites.
Oh,
he'll rip your ass apart.
The first time Nintendo...
Didactic styler. Sorry.
It's all okay. Rich, you are safe. Mike, you are safe. You don't have to apologize for anything. Because the first time Nintendo publicly reported its earnings was the year 1981. Every single year since then, the Japanese gaming company has turned a profit until now. See, before 1981, they were a privately held company and never reported earnings at all. So, yes, in fact, this is the first time ever that Nintendo has ever reported a loss.
Is it something to do with... Because if you're like a sole trader and it's like a private business, you don't have to publicly...
If you're a private company, you would never. There's no reason to
Well, you can if you want, but there's no reason to. Right, you don't have to do it by any
The only time you would publicly report your earnings is if you're limited. To go to an IP.
If you're a limited company, then you have to do it. If you're a limited company.
Well, I think that might be a UK thing, but...
Yeah, maybe it is. Maybe we're talking about the same thing.
Yeah, being a privately held company, you don't have to report your earnings. It's when you're a publicly traded company because you have investors that have given you money.
Yes, they own stock. Is that, are we on the same
exactly.
page?
So as a privately held company, there's basically just a few people that actually own the company.
Even if it's the two people who own the company.
And why do they have to report their earnings to anybody? They don't, and they haven't. Eric, you're wrong.
Uh-oh, spaghetti.
All right, let's. I'm going to get a scathing email from Eric.
Duke doesn't. I mean, Duke's very good at acting like he cares. I mean, he doesn't really care, but you know.
I know.
He'll certainly act like he will.
Yeah, and so question for the next show. I haven't thought of a question yet. Mark
need to think
of a question right now, Mark, while we talk about community play dates, which usually would be led by Mr. Christopher Matthew. He's not here. I'll kind of talk about it. There was just very limited stuff. So the Forza R2 Championship, I believe, is continuing on Sundays. There's the Painting Challenge 3, Overhaul on My Ride, Blues and Twos Theme, GamerScore Challenge. Of course, we know Mark has coming up. Is there any veteran gamers play date coming up?
Yes, there is, mate. It's a bit of a weird one this week because people keep asking for trials.
Yeah.
But the thing is, Duke doesn't have trials. So he can't really play that one. And I'm not at home at the top of this week's play date. So if people want to play Trials Evolution, okay, let's play Trials Evolution. But Duke will be playing Full House Poker. So it's kind of like a dual play date. Yeah, so it's either Trials Evolution, get together with some people, or join Duke in Full House Poker, and they can all be in the same party if there's enough, or if there's too many. I don't know. So yeah,
I want to play Full House Poker.
If I'm there, you go. Well, you can play it at 6 p.m. British time, the real time, on Sunday, the whatever this Sunday is, which is the 13th,
which is Mother's Day.
No, it's not.
In America.
All right, we've got birthdays to talk about, so I'm going to...
Yeah, we do.
So let's start off with all of the people that are not on this podcast. Button1RC, Joker3572, Halo Boy, Jack Reacher, Dizzy, Nataleth, G-Dog79,
Zia
Geezer... Skipping over that one. Pink Diamond Girl. Thydarian. The Daddy. Zodiac Lecter. And Polarity Beta. In the UK. Polarity Beta. And, of course, Marcanix, who turned a stunningly old 21 at the stroke of midnight just a little while ago.
Yeah, so it wasn't his birthday at the start of the show.
No.
And then now it is.
And now I'm a year older.
Yeah, this has been a really long show if you're a year older, mate.
It has been.
It is also Stuart's birthday from the Veteran Gamers this week.
Happy birthday, Stu.
Yeah, so I'll give him a shout out.
Absolutely. So, we have a few new members we should probably talk about.
We should probably, hold on, while Mark's on. Mark, are you doing anything for your B-Day this...
Good point.
Well, I think we're just going to go see the new Avengers movie tomorrow.
I think that's a good way to spend your birthday, I think.
Yeah,
love it.
And then gaming all day, hopefully.
Mate, that is the dream.
Do you get a free pass on your birthday then, Mark?
To
play as much as you want.
Yeah.
Yeah, normally, yeah.
Yeah, I'm the same. Yeah. Don't talk to me. You can't say anything.
My birthday.
Father's Day is just around the corner. You can get a little something as well. I mean,
women pull the whole kind of birthday week. Have you noticed this thing that's coming in there? Birthday. It's my birthday week. It's my birthday. What?
Birthday week counts.
It's my birthday year.
All right, new members, Captain J-Hook, Whatever Man, and Gandor. Welcome to the site.
I like Whatever Man. That's
Whatever Man. It's clever.
Whatever Man. Because he obviously, man. Like, where, okay, you must think of a username. And he went, Whatever Man. I like his attitude. He's got a carefree attitude. If only someone can tame him.
If only. If only. Hey, it's community spotlight time. Parsnip, he sent us one last week, Mike. And we have it now. So here we go.
Hi, this is Parsnip Knows 3000 with another weekly community spotlight. This week, I'd like to mention you, the podcast guys, and to say thank you for producing such a good quality, entertaining show that I look forward to downloading every Wednesday night. So well done to Murphy, CP, Skull, and Chinny. Thank you. Thank you very much. Anyway, that's it for me. Until next week. Bye-bye.
All right, so thanks for that, Parsnip. Moving on. It's
Play for Walt.
Rich. Rich. Use your fluffy imagination. Think of...
Rich is just alluded to the fact that we heard nothing because we didn't hear the clip.
Yeah.
But the audience did.
The audience.
So thanks for knocking that fourth wall down, Rich.
Rich is here for us. Speaking of being here for us, Mark, yes. When you send an email to our podcast...
Tell you what.
One... You need to learn how to cut your emails down. But do you send those? What email address do you send those to?
OCpodcast@gmail.com.
And you I like
making them long. Yeah, I make them long on purpose now.
Fair enough.
You're turning into Yoda the Third. At least you've got punctuation.
Yeah.
There's something.
Autographs.
Hey, Mark, I'm just going to keep putting you on the spot. If you were going to send a tweet... to this fine podcast.
You would send that tweet to @OC_podcast.
That's great. You are so good. You're like a professional. You've got this down. Now here's the real test. Supposing you lived in the U.S.
Bloody hell. If you know this,
we're extremely rich in the U.K. Not rich primrose, but rich as in like you had a lot of pounds. I mean, money.
I've got that. Carrying a lot of pounds.
Where would you call into to put a voicemail to us?
You would ring 626-506-2763. Or if you've got them fancy letters on your telephone keypad, you can ring 626-50-OC-POD.
That's great.
Hell, if you've got them letters on them keypads, that's crazy, that.
And modern fandangled things.
Yeah, and I suppose, Mark, iTunes and Zune reviews are a favorable thing.
Yes, I've left an iTunes review many moons ago, and I think I've updated it, so just join my example.
Have you left a Zune review, Mark?
No, because I wouldn't know how to do that.
You know why? Because it fucking sucks.
So, yeah, please leave iTunes reviews, because it helps get the podcast listed up on higher up on the... on the iTunes charts.
Also, Greg gets paid £10,000 each review.
Well, 10,000 Ugandan dollars, but yes. Yes.
All worth it.
All right. It's time. We got to close this show down, so let's send it around.
Well, forever. Is it... Oh, shit.
Rich, why don't you start first?
First one's an update on... Knight XXL's wife, some time ago, spoke about the fact that she'd actually got into Skyrim. Well, basically, in the last weekend gone, she actually surpassed Kev Knight's level on Skyrim, which I'd just like to call him out about. She's now level 36. And just got to say, props to the good lady of Kev. So, well done. Steffi Business, shout out to him because he sent a scathing Twitter saying that we'd not followed him back on Twitter. I'd like to apologise for the administration of the Twitters because, yeah, that was my fault. Sorry, mate. And you're now being followed. I'm in the hedge of your garden now. And then another one. This weekend, I went to see a Gate member wrestling. Yeah.
Really?
Yeah. I went to see Russell, Dangerous, as he's known in the ring and on the Xbox. Dangerous. Yeah, he was on at Arnold Working Men's Club. And they had a wicked setup. Proper ring. They did it American style with the promotional videos, projectors and all of that lot. And I couldn't believe how professional it was. And it was really good as well. I took Mother Duggar with me.
Yeah. Oh, well, you got it. There's nothing like
made sure she had a biggest handbag with her so that she could bash any of the wrestlers that she wanted to around the head. And, it was thoroughly entertaining. Great stuff.
So where was this?
It was in Nottingham, in a town called Arnold, in the Working Men's Club. And, it was cracking. And they go around all over the shop.
He's put some pictures up on G4T of him doing his wrestling bit.
It's funny as well because, I mean, he had a good slot as well. There's a main event and Russell was on the fight before the main event. And basically, the bout that they set up for him was like light relief, really slapstick. And he came on and was joking around and stuff. And some of the moves that they were pulling off were wicked. I was well impressed. They were up on the ropes and doing proper jumps and all sorts. And, it was wicked. Well entertaining. The first wrestler that came on was the one that most impressed me. No, he was really good. This guy comes on basically dressed in a suit, and he had, like, the tie on and all that lot. And he was just acting pissed up drunk. He had a hip flask and he was, like, drinking it and spitting it all over the crowd. And everybody was, like, going mental. And, he just acted like a complete drunkard throughout the fight. It was really good. And, fully enjoyed it. And they had all the catchphrases as well. The one that I took away with me was, textbook, baby! And, I don't like wrestling normally, but that was wicked. Hark back to the days of World of Sport, and that was well chuffed. That's it from me. Greg?
Okay. Let's see. I want to say thank you to Mark for coming on to the show.
Thanks,
shout out
Mark.
To you. And, of course, a big happy birthday, my friend.
Thank you.
I also should probably go back. We do have a question for the week next week. We put Mark to the grindstone while we were talking about everything else to come up with a question.
Yeah, just because it's your birthday, Mark, I gotta get off the hook.
No, he doesn't get off the hook. So this is Mark's question. It's community focused, which is fitting. It says, would you play crap games and kiddie games just for gamer score? So, how important is that gamer score to you? Are you going to delve into the avatars of the world? So, we'll have that up on the forums. Respond, sound off. I think I know some of the answers on this show already. I will say to all my U.S. friends, happy Mother's Day to those that are mothers. I think, Mike, why don't you go next?
Obviously, we got to share that, Mark, for being on the show and for him celebrating to be... another year older or younger, Mark. Well done for reaching 21.
Yeah.
Again.
Don't forget the daddy.
Yeah, and shout out to Stuart for his birthday. And shout out to Stuart and kind of a few veteran gamers people who have started to create this idea that we're going to meet up because someone suggested it, and forgive me, I can't remember who.
Don't plan on Mike being there.
But... basically, they said, would it be funny if we had, like, a LAN party? And this has now evolved to a place in Manchester where hosts, like, gaming nights for people. And it's a bar, and it's about £14 in, and they organise the whole thing. You don't have to bring a thing. They've got all the Xboxes there, all the games there. And the pricing includes, like, a burger and a drink. And apparently, so far, I think, like, about 14, 15 people are into it. I don't know if it's going to go ahead. I don't know if people... The thing is, if I go, no one's allowed to touch me. This is the thing, Greg, you see. Because I'm a diva. I have to keep up with my appearances. You know what I mean, Greg? I'm not a lunatic. Get that. It seems like it's going to go ahead, which is a bit bizarre. We'll see. We'll see.
What
so
are you playing?
If anybody's I don't know. I think it'd be like a Call of Duty thing, or I don't know. Like, see what they got. Carcassonne. Yeah, play Vampire Rain multiplayer or something.
Awesome.
I really don't know. I really don't know what's going on. But if you're interested,
you've brought it up.
No, well, I'm just saying is like it'll pop up on our website on the veterangamers.co.uk, and it'll pop up on the Veteran Gamers Facebook as well. And if you don't follow either the Facebook page for Veteran Gamers or Gaming for the Elderly, then please do, because there's always good stuff on there. Who runs the Facebook for Gaming for the Elderly, Mark? Do you know?
Is it you and Stu?
No.
For the Elderly.
Stickman. Sorry.
Is it Stickman, is it?
Yeah, Stickman runs it, yeah.
Yeah, for the Veteran Gamers, it is usually me and Stu, yeah. So... follow those on Facebook. Has Mark gone yet? Or are we leaving the best to last?
Pass it to Mark.
Why have I got voices in my head? Right, who should I pass it to? Should I listen to the voices?
Pass it to Mark.
No, I won't burn down the house, Mark. Go.
Dark Souls.
I'd like to thank you guys for having me on again. I've enjoyed it again. Thank you very much. And just one big shout out to everyone who's signed up and is partaking in the GameScore challenge. So thank you very much, and I look forward to doing a weekly update.
Awesome.
So you're going to do an update like every week?
Every week I do an update of how much they've increased by that week. I put up like a chart with like a leaderboard thing and everything. Yeah.
We have it's high tech now, Mike.
Yeah.
Excel spreadsheets. Oh yeah.
Yeah. Welcome to 1997, Mike. Does it happen the same way it did last year where the bar chart is like the first thing you see on that thread, and it'll just kind of, when you change it, you just change that first bar chart. You don't have to go into multiple pages of the thread or anything.
I put it on the top post, and then I'll put it on the sort of like long thread, because it gets really long, does this one. Yeah. It's on four pages already, and it's only just started.
Four pages of people bitching about Barbie Horse Adventures.
Yeah.
I know the thread.
There's one guy, he's actually joined us from the Veteran Gamers, from the TPV site, PGTips77. And apparently, I've heard that he's got 4,000 games go already in 2 days.
Jesus.
Which is unbelievable.
Okay, well, yeah. Is it at, like, Avatar?
Ban him!
Yeah, can I just say that guy is a hardened Dark Souls player, so I would expect no less.
Oh,
go on, Billy G!
It's shameful.
Right.
It's shameful.
Yeah. Greg, I think...
The show is done. Well at this point. We need to pull it off before we burn it.
Aye.
See ya.
Oh, where are we going? Bye. Jamapool.
Entire time that was like, there was good bits in there, you guys harping on me.
The bit where you started making racist comments, Greg, though, I don't think you should have put that in.
That's just Primrose's picture is racist. Let's face the facts there.
For the listeners, if you're listening to this, Primrose's Skype picture is him blacked up as Michael Jackson, which is both racist and inaccurate. So I'd like to
think you'd find that last statement inaccurate if you would look at my profile picture.
Have you changed it to some, very offensive slur now?
It's even worse now.
Changed it to, it looks like the front cover of Borderland.
That's a scary ass picture. You get the nonsense.
It's full of that anyway, isn't it?
It's all nonsense.
It is all nonsense.
Shipping on us. Remember when I first heard Greg on the Couch Mercenary show, Mark?
Yeah, the old Murphy's Shots. Yeah, I remember
Murphy's
them.
Shots. Remember that? I was working at the local newspaper at the time.
Yeah, what a douchebag!
I used to listen in. I used to think, I am the law. I used to think, because I remember you wrote into our show and said, "Oh, we should get together and join forces and all this."
Yeah.
And then I thought, all right, I'll give their show a listen. Heard Murphy, I thought, probably never ever speak to that guy. Funny, isn't it?
Can't believe it's been 4 years.
Greg.
Yes.
Do I have to stop it here?
No, we'll pause and we'll go right into it. Watch this.
Yeah.
Don't turn green by any chance, does it?
Maybe, does, yeah.
while you guys are talking over there.
So,
is he shouting on the podcast from the fucking toilet?
Yeah, he's on toilet having a slash.
I recorded all that, by the way.
So. I'm changing my own diaper. Get naked again.
This is all the...
Sponging him down, getting him ready for round two. There you go.
Black
pep talk. Pep talk.
He's going to give that kid nightmares talking about black pudding. Well, that's black pudding now. Oh, it's pig's blood.
Sleep tart.
Madness.
Somebody think of the children.
Chuffing spiders. Does that mean I've got to listen to the whole thing back?
I heard that right. Fucking spiders.
If you like this podcast, there is another site you should check out, which is called VGHub.net. And on there, you find a bunch of links to other video game podcasts. Similar in vein to ours, but different in the way they're delivered. Some have all kinds of sound effects.
Are for old people.
Some talk about RPGs.
Too many, some people say.
Come on, yeah.
Some might say that.
No one says that.
Then, of course, you have links to, you know, great forums.
You don't have any other friends.
So check it out, vghub.net. It is a great starting point for your podcast discovery.